Romans 8, beginning at 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Finally, verse 16, last time we talked about the Spirit itself. Who objects to that in the King James Bible, and why? Who objects to this translation, and why? Back to Dan.
The liberals.
All right, the liberals, and who else?
People that use modern Bible versions.
Modern Bible, the Bible-believing Christians, some of them use Bible versions, and what is their objection? Why don't they like this translation?
Because it's
itself. Now, is that a translational error? No. Yes. Why not?
Because the Spirit's neuter.
Spirit's neuter. Topshama is a neuter noun, and itself is neuter as well. If you turn over, for example, to this same chapter, verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he that is the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's a person. The King James translators know he's a person. Perfectly translated in many other places where he's referred to as a person. So just because it's itself, which is strict translation, proper translation, is never to say that the King James translators denied the personality of the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, it's just an equivalent to the neuter Topshama. So, verse 16. Yes, fine.
When it says the Spirit himself, I don't know where that verse is, but...
Verse 16. The Spirit itself. What do you mean, why just put there? So that was verse 27. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, that is the Holy Spirit.
Why, is Spirit masculine? I mean, why is it?
The Spirit is neuter.
Herself.
Neuter, see? Topnama is neuter, and itself is neuter.
That's
so
why
it's,
I can't figure out the himself.
It's itself. No, it's itself. It's okay. Literally translated itself, the Spirit itself. The Spirit itself.
8:16.
No, that's not in verse
27.
Verse 27, it says he.
He.
That's what I mean, he.
That's right, verse 27.
It says, because the Spirit, because he maketh. I'm just asking, how do you know it's he, when one time it's neuter, and then now it's he here?
Well, as I said before, honey, the top noun is a neuter noun, and neuter nouns must agree with the itself, and so it's itself, not the neuter himself.
I'm questioning the one in 827.
Well, 827, there's no neuter noun that he has to refer to. Of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit, because he, that is the Spirit, maketh intercession. See, there's no modification
there.
Spirit is still neuter, but you see, the he does not modify Spirit. He is a subject of the sentence.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
So why do we know it's he instead of her? Now, I'm
because it's very clear.
Crazy,
he is the Greek word. It's mentioned very clearly.
Okay, right.
It's the pronoun he.
Right, that answers it then.
All right. All right. You have two he's in verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts, that's the Father, and he maketh intercession for the Holy Spirit. That Father. I mean, that's good. Ten.
I have a question in verse 16, going on with what Bob said. The Spirit itself, is that all one word in Greek?
No, two words. Spirit Pneuma itself, autos, autos, Spirit itself.
Okay.
Two words, yeah. Two separate words.
I wasn't sure.
No, separate words, yeah.
I guess. Certain.
Yeah, Barbara?
It's when you say I myself or you yourself mm-hmm. or Spirit itself,
mm-hmm.
when you do the itself part, in mm-hmm. English, it's for emphasis. Mm-hmm. That I myself will do this.
Yes, exactly. Any other comments on verse 16? We took it up last week. We want to be sure. As witness with our spirit, what kind of spirit is that?
Our body spirit.
The human spirit. Small s is proper.
And so relate to God.
The thing that relates to God and knows. Remember, 1 Corinthians, the thing that knows is the spirit. What are the other two parts of our anatomy?
Soul.
Soul and body, all right? And what's the order in 1 Thessalonians 5:23?
Spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit, soul, and body. Pray that be acceptable to the eyes of the Lord. So 16... Spirit, that we are children of God. He bears witness. Yvonne?
Yeah,
Excuse me, yeah, Barbara.
We are children of God. In Rome, when you had a father, you never became an adult until, I don't care how old you were, I don't care how old he was, you never became an adult until your father died.
Oh.
Is that right?
And the rights of inheritance, once you have been adopted, could never be wiped out. Like if he had another son, if you were adopted first and he had another natural son, you were first born. It couldn't be wiped out.
All right, that's good. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Greetings from Wisconsin. An update on Julie. Her cancer went to her brain now. I believe she was having radiation treatment. Thank you for your continued prayers for Rick and me. In Christ, Wendy and Rick.
Oh,
that's a wave to Wendy and Rick over Wisconsin. The closest. All right, very good. Bear witness that there were the children, full-grown, mature children of God. Then in verse 17, what is true if people are children? How many people are children of God, by the way?
Does it truly believe on him?
How many people? What kind of people are? Yes, Pastor Dan.
Ones that are born again.
Born again and saved are the only ones that are children of God. And nobody else is, no matter what they say about themselves. It bears witness about children. If children, what is true if we're children in verse 17? Those that are generally say, general true Christians, what is true of them? What is an heir? How would you define heirs?
One who inherits.
One who inherits, all right. And there's two types of inheritances. What's the first one? Who's God? Which part of the Trinity? Probably God the Father. What's the second heirship?
Joint heirs.
What does joint heir mean?
Co-heirs.
Co-heirs, what's it then?
We're also heirs.
Also heirs. A joint heir, that is, with whom are we joint heirs?
Christ.
What does that mean if a general child of God is a joint heir with Christ? What does that mean?
Everything that
God, the Lord Jesus Christ has and is part of those that are children of God. That's a tremendous, tremendous gift that God the Father has given to those that are His children, joint heirs with Christ. And then the last part of that verse talks about what two things, one negative and one positive.
If we suffer with
it. So He's bringing up suffering. Did Christians in Paul's day suffer?
Yes.
Yes, they did. Do Christians today suffer?
Yes.
Yes, they did. In fact, Obama, who claims he's all for helping people coming here that are suffering, of all the people that have come over here from the Muslim countries, I think something in the neighborhood of maybe less than 1% are Christian. All the rest are Muslim. That's all he brings up. He doesn't care a thing about, even though these are not genuine Christians, perhaps, at least they quote-unquote Christian and not Muslim. That's sad. But children, we suffer. But then what's the positive thing if believers suffer?
We'll be glorified.
Glorified together. Suffer with Him. What's the Him refer to? Who's that?
With Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering with Him. What did the Lord Jesus say to Paul when he was saved on the road to Damascus? What was the question that he asked Saul?
Why dost thou persecutest me?
Why do you persecute me? Why persecutest thou me? Now, if we suffer with Him, in other words, Him and the Christians are all joined together, and so persecute the Christians are persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if we suffer with Him, does the Lord Jesus participate and partake of sufferings of Christians?
Yes,
yes He does. He's with us. He understands what we are. 17, we're now 17. Then glorified together. What does glorified mean, and when will that take place?
To exalt the dignity.
Like, what does that mean specifically? When does that take place?
When
we have a new body, change, new body,
shining.
Glorification is when these old bodies become glorified. If we're still living, when the Lord Jesus returns in the rapture, the mortal, subject to death body, will change to immortality. If we've died, that corruptible body that's in the grave will become incorruptible. And that's when we're glorified in our new bodies, resurrected bodies, like unto Christ. Yes, Barbara?
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering.
That's right, power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering. And so we're glorified together. He also be also glorified together. Every believer will be glorified together, and also with Christ will be glorified with him in a glorified body. So that together we could be not only fellow Christians, but also with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Barbara?
I have a note here in my Bible that I wrote at one point. If so be that we suffer with him, the if here is not if as in conditional, but since, but in the sense of since.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's not a condition, but a fact that if we suffer with him, then we will also be glorified together with him.
Yes, certainly that's one use of the word if, in a sense of sense, absolutely. And that certainly that would be fitting in with things. Because we're going to suffer, there's going to be suffering. And just rest assured with the conditions in our country today that are getting worse and worse and worse against Christians and Bible-believing people, that come may come sooner than later. This massive suffering at that.
Goodness.
Oh God!
I just have my hand.
Oh, that's right. I don't want to slide any finger to the lips.
No, it's just on my chin. Sorry.
Oh, finger to the chin. Excuse me.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So then we shall be glorified together with Christ. Then in verse 18, what does reckon mean?
Consider.
I reckon. What else?
You
account. Account, okay, I reckon. Account, just like it were true. That's just like in bookkeeping. If you reckon that you have in the bank $10 or $100, if it's in there, you reckon it is just as good as being true, because you reckon, you assume something that is true. You reckon, what do you reckon here in verse 18? What's Paul reckoning? What's he counting on?
The sufferings of
the present time.
Yeah, with the glory.
Not worthy to be compared.
The glory
which shall be revealed in us. What is it not worthy? In what sense would that mean between the sufferings and the glory? The not worthy. What would it mean?
The degree.
The degree?
So the degree of suffering is, I mean, it's in a different direction, but irregardless, the degree of glory
would
be far exceeding.
All right. So the positive, the greater, would be the sufferings or the glory? What should be the greater?
The glory.
The glory would be sufferings shall be revealed in us. When will the glory of God be revealed in those that are genuine Christians? When will the glory of God be revealed in us? When does that take place?
When we are transformed.
When we're transformed, and when we have new bodies, and when we're resurrected bodies, we'll have the bodies like unto his glorious body, as it says in the book of Philippians, isn't it? Like unto his glorious body. We'll have a glorified body, and the glory glorified together, and the glory shall be revealed in us. Now let's read verses 19, 20, and 21 together. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Or simply a question. All right, so verse 19. Earnest expectation. What does earnest mean?
Foretaste.
Well, it could be in that sense of the earnest of the Spirit, but what else is another meaning for earnest?
Great.
See, the earnest, you know, the earnest money you put up, that's the down payment. That's one meaning of earnest, but what's another meaning?
Great.
Could be great. Something that's in earnest. You do this in earnest.
Or
you work in earnest.
In great desire.
Great desire. Very good. Then what is expectation?
It's something that's future.
Something is future, and you're hoping that it'll come to pass, or will come to pass. Of the creature. Who's the creature here?
Christ. Is that all creation?
That would be creation, wouldn't it? The things that God created, the animals, the bees, the
Could that even refer to camels. The earth then, too?
Pardon me?
Could that refer to the earth then, too?
I don't know about the earth. I think it's the animals and things that God's created. I think it's the living creatures. I think that the other would be creation. This is the creature that God has created. I think that's the distinction. As we'll see in the next verses that come along here, see, the creature, that is the dogs and cats and lions and tigers and whales and all those, that's the crows are the creatures. Those are the created things. What does the created things do in verse number 19?
They're waiting.
They're waiting. What are they waiting for?
The manifestation.
Manifestation. And when will it?
The
sons of God?
Revealing of those that are born again.
All right. So
what does it mean?
Now, the manifestation, when they get their new bodies, then the creation. Now, when will the creation of the creatures change the way they are now?
In the millennium.
In the millennium. It says in the book of Isaiah that the snakes and so on will go with non-snakes.
The children will put their hands and play with the asps.
That's right. So this will take place during the millennium, and that's where I believe it refers to the creature, those animals. What were the animals like when they were first created? Like they are now, or different?
No, like they'll be in the millennium.
They talk.
Like they were in the millennium. Some of them talk. That's right. What are two animals that talked in the Old Testament?
The serpent.
Who else?
And Balaam's ass.
Balaam's ass, absolutely. And
some people think that all animals talked in one.
It could be, but the point of it is, what's the distinction between the original creation of animals and what happened? Did they get changed, or are they the same as they are today?
No, they're different.
They're different. What made them different?
Sin.
The fall.
After the flood, God put the fear of man on them.
All right, after the flood. Before, what did the animals eat?
Grass. Greens.
Greens and the things that are not... And after the flood, what did they eat?
Meat.
They ate flesh and meat and so on and so forth. And animals that eat meat, so they were eating meat. And now, also, what was true of their natures before the flood?
Well, they all came to Adam to be named.
All right, what else about their natures? They were docile. Did they eat one another?
No.
The tigers eat. Right now, during the flood of Noah,
they must have eaten something.
What did God do to the natures? What did God do in the ark?
During the flood?
During the flood, with the two, each of the clean, unclean beasts and seven pairs of the clean beasts in the ark. What was true, Pastor Nat?
Well, God brought all the animals to Noah, to the ark, and... Mm-hmm. And during the time they were in the ark, they were friendly to each other.
All right.
They were not.
So apparently there was a special miracle that happened to those animals. They didn't eat each other. As far as food, he just took care of them for a whole year. Yes.
Are we saying that before, at the time of the fall, they were eating each other? I thought it was after the flood.
Well, let's see. When was the time? It may have been after them. Yes.
It was after the flood. It couldn't have been before because there was no death.
Yes. After the flood, I guess it would be after
there
the flood.
Was death.
Well,
there was death.
Not in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. No, not in the Garden of Eden, but after the
fall.
After the flood, yeah.
Right.
The time before the flood or before the fall? Before the fall.
What's the question?
No, not before the flood. Before
the flood, fall, there could have been no death.
No, there wasn't.
Of any kind.
No, I didn't say before the flood.
Well, I think we're talking about if before the flood.
I said before the flood.
Before the flood.
First of all, what's the question? Mom asked what the question was.
Well, the question was, you were talking about how God gave them a docile spirit in the ark, but they weren't eating each other at that point. It wasn't until after.
Yeah, you're right. So they were all right, they were fine during that time, but they didn't.
And some people would say that they might have been hibernating.
It could be during that time.
To rest for that year.
For rest for that year, they didn't need any food or anything else. Or else the provision were made. Yes.
Maybe a little bit of food.
Maybe a little, yes. Bon and then Bill.
I forgot what Zelda.
Okay, Bill.
Hibernating.
It could be, yes. So Bill and then Barbara.
I'm so tired if they don't.
Bill and the Barbara.
I can't remember.
they probably had some food on the ark, you know, some plants.
Yes, could be. Yes.
And hay and
could be.
The animals.
Is that a vitamin pill?
Could be like Barbara.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
That's Genesis 9.
Uh-huh.
That's right. After the flood, that's when they get Anna.
For me, it's still, I don't think we know from Scripture when the animals started to kill each other. We just know when man started to eat meat.
Well, that's true, but we assume that perhaps that's also when animals started to eat one another. I mean, it doesn't say
so. How do you eat one another?
Well, as I say, we would think that would be the case. All right, if we didn't think it was after the flood, when did the animals begin to eat each other?
After the fall.
Well, they could. It would have to
have been. You mean immediately after the fall, or after the flood?
That was part of the curse, the fall.
But did they eat each other after the fall?
Why would they say?
No, they had herbs. They didn't eat meat. No animals eat any meat. Humans didn't eat any meat. They ate vegetables and fruits. Bill, they didn't eat any meat. Pastor Dan, go ahead. Right then.
Well, there were in the early days. It seems like maybe there were dinosaurs that were ferocious at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have been, I mean, it seems like it would have been before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Job,
when it talks
about,
yes,
about how, you know, man was frightened of the Leviathan and the, I forget the other one.
Behemoth. Behemoth was probably a third one.
Yeah, it wasn't the behemoth, but it was the
Leviathan.
Yeah.
All right, so Genesis 9 is the point at which people began to eat flesh. And we assume that that's when the animals eat each other, they ate flesh as well. But before the flood, they ate vegetables and fruits, all people. Men and women together, boys and girls and the animals. Yvonne?
After sin, after sin came, that's when the animals devoured each other.
Every, we'll have to study it out.
It says, every green thing shall be fruit for you.
Yes,
the herbs and all.
He was speaking to the...
Does he tell... I don't know what it is.
I think he was speaking to the...
I don't care when they started eating.
It's clear that their diet... In the early parts of Genesis, was plants and fruits.
They're made for one thing, and then
After the flood, Genesis 9 is when the change came. And every beast, you'll eat flesh. But before, someone find that for us as far as the diet before the flood. Every green
Genesis
thing.
Genesis 1:29-30, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb."
That's it.
Yeah.
And so, but that was before the fall.
That's before the flood.
Before the
fall. But it was also
Before the fall.
Well, all right. It was
Genesis chapter 1. Oh, all right. But before the fall, but we assume that took place right up through, including the flood. Yeah. Danny?
My question is, in Genesis chapter 4, mm-hmm. we had Abel, the keeper of the sheep,
mm-hmm.
and we had Cain, the tiller of the ground. What was he keeping the sheep for?
Sacrifice.
That could be sacrifice.
Well.
That's killing the animals, though.
Yeah.
No, not for
sacrifice.
Well, but you see, there's a difference between killing for sacrifice and eating. There's a difference there.
Some of the time they gotta eat and sacrifice.
Why did God say very clearly in Genesis 9, a new beginning about eating? Why, if that happened before the flood was over, why do you have to repeat himself? Isn't that brand new understanding? Read that again, that Genesis 9 passage.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
So there's no...
And surely at the hand of the Lord and at the hand of man.
Will I require it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Be fruitful, multiply, bring forth.
All right, that's Genesis 9. There seems to be a pivotal point there of what to eat and what not to eat after the flood was over. Genesis 9. All right, so the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then they all live together peacefully. Yes, Barbara?
And to go on further, and it goes on to what you were saying about creation and the animals in Romans. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons, saying, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth.
All right.
Do you think that's a reference to not flooding the earth again if you continue? Because it says, and this is the token of the covenant. Well, it's in verse 11, I will establish my covenant
with you.
And neither shall there be any more a flood.
No, it's
really right covenant.
But he said, he said, I establish my covenant with you and with every living creature.
So the manifestation of sons of God during the millennial reign of Christ, the animals will be tame again, not eating one another, and various other things. Now notice verse 20. The creature was made subject to vanity. What's the creature referred to there? What creature? What does that mean? The animals, all right? The creature in general.
What do you mean to vanity? Subject to vanity? What's that?
Well, things of
emptiness.
Emptiness, yes, sure.
The result of sin.
Result of sin.
What kind of jealousy?
3:17. And unto Adam.
Where are we?
Verse 30. Romans 8:30.
Oh,
8:30. 8:20. 8:20. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. Subject to vanity.
What does that mean, subject to vanity?
Oh, subject to vanity.
Well, uselessness and
futility.
Futility, that's yes. Not willingly. Yes, Pastor Dan. Excuse me, Tammy.
Oh, verse 17 of Genesis 3. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed be this ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And then he said that it was referring to the living things. But I've always thought that it related to the whole earth as well, the creature. So referring to not just the animals, but even the ground itself is cursed. Because in the millennium, we're going to have that's what we were reading about in Pentecost, we were studying about last year, how the ground is going to be so much more productive.
Yes, you're right. But I don't know about creature. It seems like if it were the ground involved with creation and food, creatures, that move, as well as plants and trees. Both would be true, I guess, if they're going to be restored. They waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, subject to vanity, not willingly, because of the fall that took place in verse 20, right? The reason of him has subjected the same in hope. Who is the one who subjected the same in hope? Pastor Dan?
If you go down a little bit further, we have creation that's mentioned. I mean, I know we're not there yet, but in verse 22, that with the whole creation groaneth.
Yes, yes, there, that's inclusive.
Earth,
yes. That's inclusive, isn't it?
So
that's right, the whole creation.
They relate to each other.
Yes, whole creation. Plants, animals, everything. All right, subject to the same in hope. And He who subjected the same. Who is the he again who subjected in verse 20? All right, let's see what we got here. Hi, Rob. Rob Winograd from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. I don't know if anyone mentioned these verses. I'm not sure if they're poetic, but in 1 Chronicles 16:33, that shall the trees of the wood sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. And
good. Thanks a lot, Rob. All right. Let's wave to Rob over in Chicago. Thanks very much. Rob Winograd.
Hey, Rob.
Chicago. Okay.
Verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad.
Earth be
let
glad.
The sea roar and the fullness thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice
mm-hmm.
before the Lord, for he cometh. When he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So that's Psalm 96, 11 through 13.
Yes, that's a good section. And of course, as Pastor Dan mentioned later on, there's some other verses. The whole creation, I mean, it's going to be a productive situation. It's going to be producing more than ever. All the plants and the trees and shrubs and fruits and everything else. But in verse number 20, who is the one that subjected the same? Who's the same refer back to? The same.
I don't know.
Christ?
No, the same
is Jesus. In verse 20, the creature, that's right, the same. The creatures, he subjected. What does subjected mean?
It's under submission.
Under submission, the same. And then in hope, that means something future is going to happen,
it
right?
It must be Jesus.
In hope. So, he subjected the one who said the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father.
With him, that's Christ.
Yes, by reason of him.
Subjected the same.
That's
the
right.
Same would be
could probably the Lord Jesus Christ, could be God the Father, whatever. Subjected the same, but in hope. There's something going to be changed in the future, in hope. And then in 21, verse 21, what is true of this, the future of the creatures, those animals that are now killing each other and biting each other.
They shall be delivered.
Delivered. The bondage of corruption. What bondage of corruption, what does that mean?
Sin.
All right.
Bondage that sin is brought.
Bondage that sin is brought and corruption and evil into what? Glorious liberty. The children of God. So the animals are going to have some liberty. They're going to shine.
They're
going to be happy and free. And nobody,
they don't eat each other up.
That's right. Nobody's going to eat each other. And they won't have to. God will provide for them because of the way the creation is going to blossom as a rose, as it says in Isaiah.
They're flesh-eating animals. They have to have flesh.
Well, God can change their stomach areas and they can eat fruits and vegetables like they did before the fall, or before the flood, I should say. All right, let's read verse 22, 23, and
20.
Yes, we have about two more minutes.
Okay.
Let's read 22, 23, and 24. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, themselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? We can stop right here at this verse 22, pick that up for next time. But do you have any other comments or questions, though, on what the verses we've covered so far? All right, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful future that the creatures and all the people have and whole creation when the millennial reign of our Savior takes place. The thorns and the thistles and all the things that Thou hast put in the earth because of the curse and how Adam had to, in pain and difficulty, bring forth fruit because of the thorns and thistles. That's all going to be gone away. We thank thee for thy power. We just wish that all the people in this world would realize this is going to take place and believe the Bible, believe the scriptures, they would come to our Savior. Guide us and direct us on the Lord's Day and bring us back safely and help us who know thee and love thee serve our Savior acceptably every minute of our day and our weeks to come. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.